the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. Welcome in. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Dr. Deb will join us again very soon. We miss her, and thank you for listening today. To join the show, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. In this hour, our guest expert is Ellie Krieger on the Food Network and the Cooking Channel. And her book is called Small Changes, Big Results. Wellness plan for 65 recipes for a healthy, balanced life full of flavor. And some of the top medical news stories of the week, they're all great. Dr. Mike, shall we begin?
Absolutely.
So join us on the show here today for any questions you may have. And some of the top medical stories of the week are very interesting. Let's talk about sugar. How about sugar? They say it's not obesity that causes diabetes, it's sugar. What can you tell us?
Well, this was an interesting study. Before I get there, let's go that obesity does cause some problems, even if it may not directly cause type 2 diabetes. This is a study that looked at for every 150 calories of sugar, there was a 1% increase in diabetic risk. So it was a multinational study, as large a study as you can get. And they looked at those areas where there were increased sugar and people who took increased sugar, there were increased diabetes. Those places where they decreased the sugar after this increase had a decreased risk of diabetes. So sugar is thought to be a trigger directly for diabetes. We've talked about how it changes your protein. So if you get a high enough sugar level and you get that from simple sugars, added sugars, added syrups, and any grain that isn't 100% whole grain, that changes your proteins. So hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of type 2 diabetes, is just a hemoglobin with a sugar in a specific position, the A1C position. And what it does is it makes that protein less effective at releasing oxygen. So it degrades the quality of the protein. Same thing it does inside your blood vessels. It degrades the quality of the grout that holds the tutile cells together, so it makes those cells less likely to stick together or less more likely to be injured. That's what starts the repair system, which is the fatty streak of atherosclerosis. So sugar, we know, has a direct injurious component to it when it gets too high. Obviously, saturated fat turns on some genes. We've talked about that, too. So it isn't sugar alone. There is a hazard from calories, too, but there's a direct hazard from getting your blood sugar level over about 110. And, Joe, there's a great other new system, if you will. You'll be able to attach a little device to your body and have your iPhone and see your blood sugar on every minute. It's a little chip that measures your blood sugar. You will get literally minute by minute or second by second readings of your blood sugar if you want it, so you'll know what any food is doing to it, and you'll be able to keep it below 110 pretty soon.
I kind of always wondered about that. They say don't check your blood pressure all, because it makes you a little bit paranoid. They say, you know, don't do it all the time because blood pressure can vary from minute to minute to second. Would you really want to keep track of your blood sugar all the time?
Well, I don't think you need to keep track of it all the time, but because most people's blood sugar will be below 100 and you'll get bored. But what you want to do is when you're eating, you might want to see, what does this food do to my specific blood pressure? What does it do if I have six walnut halves half an hour beforehand? That's actually one of the ideals, that six walnut halves half an hour beforehand slows your stomach from emptying. Since sugar is absorbed largely in the intestine, not in the stomach, you slow that rise in blood sugar so you don't, in fact, denature or render your proteins of lesser quality. So that's a way of managing this, and we'll get a lot smarter. So just imagine if you're changing your proteins, if you get a blood sugar of, say, 140, you could always keep your blood sugar under 140 if you wanted to when you ate by just some simple tricks you'll learn.
I did some reading on this story before we went on the air today, and I think what they noticed was that when there was more sugar in the food supply, there were higher rates of diabetes in that country. As I said, they studied sugar consumption in about 175 countries over 10 years, and they noticed that in that country, no matter what the obesity rates were, and they said up to 40% of people of normal weight have the same exact metabolic problems as those who are obese. They're just not obese. So what I take out of that is, in other words, people who are of a normal weight but consume a lot of sugar could be sick and not even know it.
Well, could get sick.
Yeah, right.
And probably the reason this affects, again, is that sugar may affect the insulin receptor on the cells and render it less effective, so you develop metabolic syndrome or type 2 diabetes. And although this isn't hard and fast evidence, it's increasing evidence that those five food felons that we talked about in You on a Diet are really food felons. But remember, what I just said, Joe, is it's not the sugar you take in, it's the blood sugar you have. So we're going to be able to find ways. For example, just imagine you had a little device on your abdomen that measured your blood sugar on your iPhone. You'll be able to say, well, look, I can have that Coca-Cola, if you assume you want it, if I have, for example, six walnuts first, or if I have a whole grain piece of bread first because it absorbs the sugar or something. And you'll find out what you can do to still really enjoy food without it causing you those elevated levels. Now, saturated fat, that's the fat in four-legged animal fat, two-legged animal skin, palm and coconut oil, that changes your gene function, so you won't be able to, we don't expect, unless we figure out ways of blocking those changes to your genes, the switches that control your genes, will we be able to change that.
Listen, if anybody is new to you, Dr. Mike, here on Radio MD, or is new to the show, and you mentioned the five food felons, just to tell somebody who's new to the show, and we welcome new listeners all the time, the more the merrier. What are those five food felons?
They are added sugars, added syrups, and any grain that isn't 100% whole grain. So if it says made with whole grains, that can have made with whole grains be only 8%. So that it's a pretty loose requirement. You got to look for made with just 100% whole grains. And then the other two are saturated fat, and as I said, that's four-legged animal fat, two-legged animal skin, palm and coconut oil, and trans fat. Those five things, as of now, we consider them felons, meaning they damage you and there's no redeeming feature in them. That is, you can get something that's got whole grains that tastes every bit as good. You can get something made with omega-3 fats or one of the other fats that's healthy that tastes every bit as good if you love that fat taste without getting any saturated or trans fat. So there are ways of doing it. We, in fact, we took out all the fryers at the Cleveland Clinic, and no one knew we had done it for 2.5 years till we changed the name on the food from, quote, fried, end quote, fried to baked.
The meat of a four-legged creature and the skin of a two-legged creature, right? You told me that before.
Right. Correct.
Interesting. All right, coming up after a little brief break, you're not going away because we'll come back with more of some of the other top medical news stories of the week. Do you indulge in late-night food cravings? You might, and there are some people who indulge in some bizarre late-night food cravings. How about that Mediterranean diet? You think that's good for you? We're going to talk about that. And how about some ways to control your health care costs with these new regulations going into effect about health care? We'll have some help and advice on what to do about that. Here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.